Tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we're going to talk the week that was professional wrestling. The releases. The polices. I don't know. I didn't have a really good thing going there because I'm a dodo brain. We got a full show. We got so much WWE to talk to. There's so much that's happened in the past week. The cuts that they made. AEW this week. What's going on with the rest of the world of professional wrestling. New Japan, Ring of Honor, all that stuff. Kevin's boys got released. He's heartbroken. He's not even, I don't even know if I could see him right now. He's so distraught. He's got tears in his eyes. Look at that. He's crying. Unbelievable. We're going to talk about all that and much more next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise.
This is the...
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is the infamous Katarina Lee Waters, and you are listening to The Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa! God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, The Shining Wizards.
All right, we are, I am loud as fuck over here. We are back for another week of quarantine, another week of professional wrestling, another week of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
Yeah, talk about wrestling.
Matt.
Tony.
Kevin.
All right. We're here. We're trying something new. We got the, what are we on, the hot mic?
We are on the hot mic tonight, hot micing.
We got a couple people in the chat room, a couple people watching us. So if it wasn't good enough for you guys to listen in podcast form, you can now watch us. This is something we're doing now. So
I would have set up the porch studio for this.
Well, this is always next week, Kev. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all.
Is there a next week, though?
Of course. There's always a next week when it comes to the Shining Wizards. We haven't missed a week in 8.5 years. Come on.
Come on.
Matt's nervous. Matt's nervous because he's broadcasted. He's not used to this. Look at him chugging his drink.
No, I'm good because now I got, it's almost like the Mevo. Like now I have this screen with all of our stuff going on here on the hot mic and there's a chat. So like,
yeah.
So like,
you got a lot of shit to worry about now.
Kratzo's in the chat. Benjamin Martinez, the Ultimate Horrier is there. My Degeneration Y member, Aunt Money's there. So we're chatting it up here. We're having a good time.
There yeah, I don't know.
Sorry. See, I can't do two things at once.
No, I don't know what happened. Loopback just cut out, but it's still working. So I don't know what happened to like the audio, but things are crashing, falling apart. This is good times. This is absolutely good times. I'm going to just try to fade it back a little bit. Maybe that'll help. Maybe we're just a little too loud in the mix. I'm sounding good to you guys, though, right?
Everything you always sounds sound good, buddy. You always cool? sound great.
Well, you sound quiet now. I might have to turn
sound like a you sound like the hearkened angels rising from the heavens, singing to us.
Thanks, Kev. I appreciate the love. That's very nice of you. We are still live. We are live on rantiumradio.com. We are broadcasting for the first time tonight on Hot Mic. Special thanks to Bo and Gavin and the guys over there helping me get this all set up tonight. Like we've said, this is a work in progress. But once again, we want to thank everybody for joining us as well. I've got the Wall of Fame behind me. Kevin's sitting on the porch getting pissed off at his neighbors, and Matt's just drinking away as usual. So we do have a lot to talk about tonight.
What do you mean, as usual?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Why? Because Matt's drinking? He always drinks.
Yeah, but me and Kevin always drink when we do the show.
Is Matt the one that usually does that?
Kind of, I guess. Maybe. Yeah, he's always drinking because he's the one always getting up to take a piss. When you and I do a show, you never get up to take a piss. Matt's always pissing.
I got a bad bladder. I don't know what to tell you.
Wow, you know what? Something really crashed here because the audio is off with you guys. So talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'm going to try to get this all back together.
That's fine.
Hot mic.
Kev, how you holding up during all this nonsense? How was your week?
All the days start to blend into one now, so it's really the same as last week, I guess.
Yeah, but we taught you that there's a calendar on your phone, so you should know the days, right?
Oh, I know the days. What's today? Today's the 20th. You know why?
Why?
You tell me. Why do you think why?
It's 420?
No, silly. Today is Curt Hawkins' birthday, baby.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Hawkins. I didn't know it was his birthday.
Or the artist formerly known as Curt Hawkins, that is. Now he's the Prince of Queens, part two, Brian Myers.
Brian Myers coming back strong.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So why Tony figures this out, before we dive into, what do they call it, Black Wednesday is what they were calling it. What have you been watching? What kind of wrestling? What's in the Kevin Grifo queue this week?
I watched NXT. I watched AEW. And then I watched. No, Matt, want to hear the rabbit hole I went down?
Yes, please.
Great, Kevin.
Because you know how we were talking about the undercards for the Royal Rumbles, and I went back and watched every single undercard and Royal Rumble match again. I got up to 2004, and then after that, I wanted to relive the march to WrestleMania 20, and that's when both shows were separated. So it was a time that they were truly unique brands, other than Benoit jumping and this and that. So I'm right in the middle of that. I'm up to the go-home show to No Way Out, where Eddie Guerrero beats Brock Lesnar. So I'm right there. I'm going to continue the march to WrestleMania 20, which will conclude with me watching WrestleMania 20, probably only for the second time since I was actually there in MSG live to see the man who has no name win the World Heavyweight Championship. So, it's basically what I've been watching.
You already said his name, though. You said he beat Brock Lesnar. Or no, you said...
Beats Triple H and HBK Ski.
It's okay. It's good stuff. What about you, Tony? You fixed the sound yet?
No, something. We've got a little bit of a sync mishap with the audio and the video. I think the video is probably about a second behind, but as long as we're still moving, we're going to keep it moving forward. I, on the other hand, what did I watch? Oh, I watched the Ric Flair Broken Skull, whatever Austin's calling it, the bottom line, whatever his talk is. Actually, really? You're going to do this
what?
Now? I'm having a hard time. I'm watching your mouth, and your mouth's not moving, and you're speaking. It's really distracting.
Sounds like my wife's dream.
I can't, look at this anymore.
Now you know how everybody else feels. They don't want to look at us.
Thanks.
So hey,
is there a way for you to turn your volume up? Like, coming out to us?
Like this? Is that better?
Yeah, better. That's better. Cool. That's cool.
How was old Melty Wax Flair on that show?
Oh, he was blubbering like he lost his whole family in a tragic accident. He was crying and everything. It was pretty funny.
Well, he lost one of his kids in a tragic accident, didn't he?
But it was good though.
He was talking about like Ashley. No, he was talking about losing his smile and like he was getting all choked up. And Austin was like, "Well, goddamn kid, you didn't lose it too long, you know." And it was the typical Austin Ric Flair kind of. Ric Flair is so cool. He wears a Rolex and an Apple Watch at the same time. That's one thing I learned.
He sounds like a fucking douchebag.
Well, I mean, he's Ric Flair.
How many watches do you need?
He needs to keep up on things. He's got to know when to take his medication. He's an old man.
All right.
That's one thing that your Rolex isn't going to tell you.
Does he wear it on the same wrist?
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Wow.
Why would he wear them on both wrists? I think he had another watch on the other wrist.
Sounds like a douchebag thing.
He's Ric Flair, dude.
Yeah, but if you're going to put on a fucking Apple Watch, then you've adapted to the technology. Just lose the fucking Rolex.
Oh, you're going to tell this man to lose the Rolex?
He's lucky he's still fucking alive. Yeah, lose the Rolex.
You are awful.
Maybe he's like, Inspector Gadget or Penny, where they would open up and punch the stuff into his phone and all this stuff and send messages out to the world. Maybe he's like a secret superhero or detective.
It's possible.
Ric Flair?
Chronicles of the Nature Boy. Oh, yeah, Ric Flair.
I'm not buying it.
Okay, do you guys want to get into WWE or do you want to talk MLW first?
I know. Look at the dumb smile on his face. He wants to talk MLW so
oh,
bad.
Oh, do I ever. Oh, do I ever.
Matt,
that's the lead this week, Cody. MLW. That's the lead.
Is Kev, you commented last week that I'm the MLW king. Well, I'm the king. Oh, that's your gimmick. I don't want to steal that.
All right. Well, yes, it's freshest in mind. I watched it about 2 hours ago. I tried to do a little live tweeting about it, but it was a pain in the ass to find these fucking AAA guys' handles on fucking Twitter.
Did you notice the two things that I mentioned to you before you watched it? Like, did you catch the two gaffes?
I don't, because I didn't want to know what it was that was bothering you so much. I don't exactly know what it was, but there was plenty that bothered me. So,
then let's hear it, please. Then maybe you didn't catch the same thing I did. I'm curious.
All right. Well, I like Douglas James a lot. I'm going to preface this by saying that first. I like Douglas James a lot. I don't know what the fuck happened in his match. Was it when he hit the bottom rope when he was trying to do the dive and he landed hard as fuck on his elbow?
The guy didn't catch him. They were making like he got his foot caught in the ropes, but the guy just like wasn't
there for him. Yeah, but he fell short and he fucking whacked his elbow.
All right,
what is that?
I don't know.
The world is ending.
All right, keep talking. I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to wait till we finish this. I'm going to try a few things.
Okay.
So then
he just caught like a forearm and he got knocked out. Like, what the fuck happened there?
Yeah, that I didn't understand either. I really didn't get that. But I enjoyed the match. I thought the match was fine up to that point. I think they were trying to get the fact across that maybe these referees were a little rudo, like trying to, you know, help out the local guys.
Okay.
As opposed to, you know,
but that's fine. But this all falls under the same fucking bullshit that we complain about at Survivor Series. Brand supremacy. Does anyone give a shit if MLW is better than AAA? It should be, first of all, because the fucking AAA is dog shit.
They're just trying to stretch it out is what it is. That's
I understand,
all.
But I don't care about brand supremacy. I don't care about it when the WWE does it, and I don't give a shit when MLW does it.
Ooh, hot take.
No, it's not a hot take. I don't know who these fucking guys are.
You don't know Puma King?
I know who Puma King is. Well, Puma King enters, and then there's like this weird cut where the other guy's already in the ring, and then they cut back, and I don't know how Mexico can use fucking Bon Jovi and whatever the other guy came out to. Like, fucking, it escapes my mind.
Yeah, but MLW uses like regular music to begin with, so it's not that much of a stretch. I think they're just going to use it until they fucking get told not to. I mean, I think that's the story, right?
I don't know. I hate fucking Tom Lawler. Dominic Greeny looks 100% like the Brain. He doesn't even. It looks like if you were like, what wrestlers don't belong in the ring? It's everybody in Tom Lawler's stable, with the exception of Eric Stevens and Kit Osborne. Fucking Dominic Greeny looks like he is the most uncomfortable person in the ring. Like, he has no idea what the fuck he's doing.
Oh, and he can't bump for shit
and
either.
King Mo. That motherfucker is in the top 10 again. You got to be fucking kidding me. What are they doing at MLW? I didn't tell you a spot he was in, Kevin.
That's a good point.
The cart before the horse on that one.
What else? Fucking Richard Holiday and Hammerstone. He's going to defend the Caribbean title. Hammerstone's getting steroids, but he's not telling people he's getting steroids. The Davey Boy Smith Jr. shit. His promos are bad, and it looks like he got fucking mascara on, man. I don't know what's going on with his fucking eyelashes, but they're really bugging me out. And then it's like, they're like, oh, Injustice attacked Brian Pillman Jr. and his jaw is wired shut. Well, at the end of the fucking show, he's eating fucking birthday cake, so clearly his jaw's not fucking wired shut.
That's what fucking put me over the top about this episode, because not only that, dude, they had Injustice in the middle of the episode, and Alicia Toot was talking about to fucking Davey Boy Smith. We can't get Brian. We don't know if he's okay. We don't know where he is. We don't know anything about him. And well, hell's bells, he's right in the next fucking room getting your cake ready, stupid. It's like, really? Really? He's got his jaw wired shut. We don't know when he's coming back. And Justice is talking shit about him. And he's having birthday cake for Alicia's birthday. Bullshit. Terrible. And look, I know they're trying to stretch things out. I know that, like, everybody's in lockdown and MLW's, they don't have a chance to tape anything. So they're trying to make do with what they have with all these Mexico tapings. Fine. But, yo, you got to get on top of that. That's bad, dude. That's really bad editing. Really bad.
Yeah, I didn't.
That fucking put me over the top. Not to mention the fact that I think King Mo was like in the top five this week too, which is really fucking Looney Tunes if you think about it.
And No,
are you kidding me? We lost Hot Mike.
Okay, relax. We can get it back.
You guys, but we lost Hot Mike. This is a fucking son of a bitch.
That was probably on me.
I can't hear you guys. If you guys are talking, keep on talking. I gotta fucking get this shit back up.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you guys now.
All right, we're back. Everyone, relax.
I had to sneeze, so I thought I was muting myself, but I ended up disconnecting the call by accident. So
it's okay.
That wasn't any
relax.
Connection issue. That was just me being an idiot.
We're back, Tony. I see us. We're good. This is a whole new venture. Hot Mike is new. It's hot. MLW's hot. Kevin, you said you watched MLW while Tony futzes around with this thing. What do you got there? Any takeaways from that?
I think David Hart Smith's promos have become so atrociously bad that there's something charming about them. And I actually really enjoy them. Like, he's so talented in the ring that it doesn't even matter what he says. Because I'm like, oh, it's David Hart Smith. He'll beat anybody up anytime. It's just funny that he can't talk. So I think it's incredible. So I didn't hate it nearly as bad as Tony did.
I don't think it was the promo. I think it's...
It wasn't the promo. It was the fact of fucking idiot.
Like, they touted...
Having cake.
They tout, like, he's like, oh, yeah, well, Brian Pillman, he knows some doctors down here, you know, some special doctors that maybe they could get that fixed. And it wasn't even like, oh, next week Brian Pillman's got his jaw wired shut. The end of the fucking show, he's eating cake and he's, like, talking.
Well, didn't they announce during the show that he was cleared?
They announced that he was cleared, already? But they still said that he had his jaw wired shut.
Yep.
So if your jaw is wired shut
and you're
cleared, that's one thing. But if you're fucking eating cake and talking at the end of the show, it completely defeats everything you just told me 20 minutes ago. And I'm like, what? They couldn't find another face to be there to celebrate with fucking Alicia Atut and fucking Savio Vega? What a shitty birthday that is, by the way, too. We're going to make you a cake. It's Alicia Atut and it's Savio Vega and fucking Brian Pillman Jr., whose jaw is wired shut. Happy birthday.
That's a great birthday. What, are you kidding me? The Caribbean champ and Brian Pillman Jr.? Dude, that might be better than our Mick Foley celebration with Tatanka and Joey Styles.
Hey, come on now. Come on now.
Hold. No. Absolutely. I would put Joey Styles, if we did a tag match, Joey Styles and Tatanka against Savio Vega and Brian Pillman Jr., first of all, Joey Styles, we know he can lay out fucking JBL, so he's already got an advantage there. Tatanka, great worker. Now, if Savio Vega, great worker. Brian Pillman Jr., man, we got some work to do. But my only concern is Tatanka has a history of taking the shekels. So if somebody was to slide him some money, Million Dollar Man style, Tatanka might turn on Joey Styles. Then what the fuck? That'd be terrible.
Hey, listen, Savio Vega can be convinced to do some awful stuff. He joined the Nation. Then he started the rogue gang out of Miami known as Los Boricuas, who did a lot of stuff. So listen, Savio Vega is no slouch too when it comes to taking a payday.
That is a good point, Kevin. That is a good point. There's a lot. So it really comes down to Joey Styles versus Brian Pillman Jr. Joey Styles all day.
Oh, no. Actually.
First of all, Joey Styles, post-ECW, pre-WWE.
Trigger Joey Styles versus Brian Pillman Jr. match.
Joey Styles selling commemorative coins. Don't forget that. He did that before he went to WWE, post-ECW. Brian Pillman Jr., I don't know. He won the PWI Rookie of the Year 2 years in a row. I don't know how that works. So there's a lot of questions with the Brian Pillman Jr. camp. I know Joey Styles is a hustler. He worked by himself for a very long time. Then he did. He carried Rick Rude in 97.
Here's the wild card. Do we include the person in which we are celebrating in the match? Because I think Alicia Tutut could beat Mick Foley. And Mick Foley's a dear good friend.
So is this a handicap match, or do we get to pick another? Like, who else was in that birthday picture?
I don't remember. All I remember is Savio.
It's right behind you, Tony.
And Pillman Jr.
Right, but if they're going to team with Alicia Toot, then we got to find a third man. And it can't be Mabel, because he's gone. He gone.
The teams are Foley, Tatanka, and Joey Styles.
Oh, Foley, first, that's right.
Savio Vega, Toot, and Pillman Jr. Tough.
No, it's not.
I think you're underestimating Toot.
I think all Foley has to do is stick his hand in his pants and pull out Sako. And Toot is out of here, buddy. She's out. Tatanka hits a fucking chopper. Hi-ya! On top of fucking Savio Vega. The coconut crunch, he's out of here. And then Joey Styles, he could just take care of Brian Pillman Jr. easy. Grab him by that terrible mullet. Drag him around the ground. That's over. We're out of here. We're off to the fucking Denny's to get a Grand Slam breakfast. Tony, how you doing over there?
Good point.
Tony, you okay? I don't know if Tony can hear us.
I think he's out. I think he's checked out or he's trying to work with the hot mic.
He's working. He's working on some things. The screen is good over here on the hot mic. He's got the technical difficulties. Please stand by thing up. Tony's working on the echo is what Kratzo says. Mr. Kratzo in there, one of our Patreon supporters. I guess we can get into it.
I don't hear anything.
You don't hear me?
No, I mean, I don't hear echoes.
Oh, well, maybe Tony's, maybe we're doing echoes. I don't know. I don't know.
All
right. I don't know. Let's get into it, Kevin.
All right.
You go to bed Tuesday night, you put your head on the pillow, you think everything is right with the world. And you wake up Wednesday afternoon.
Wake up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like the whole WWE world is just falling apart. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
All right. My initial thoughts were like, man, like, because remember, like, every year we would get this. There would always be one day out of the year, just like the Monday after the Super Bowl where like coaches get fired. You know, they quit this and that. They sign new contracts with other teams. There was that day in WWE where everyone that wasn't a part of the show got fired. We haven't seen that in a long time. So my initial reaction was, oh my God, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. We haven't seen mass layoffs in WWE in forever. And then, you know, once I woke up and thought about it, I'm like, for like 5 seconds, I was like, oh, I get it. Makes sense. It's unbelievable now. So everyone's trying to cut costs and save as much money as they can. And sadly, people have to pay the price for that. Casualties, I guess you can say. So it sucks, especially for some of them that got laid off. I mean, it sucks for all of them, but just for in our circles, a few of the guys, it hurts. So, yeah, I was disappointed, sad, but yeah, that's it. It's really
it. It's I think at the end of the day, people need to understand it's a business, whether you like it or not. It's just the timing is shitty. Everybody is being affected by this situation, the coronavirus, and businesses are closing, and then everything that happened last week with the governor of Florida and the WWE. And if you really dig and you read like the governor's press conference, it's fucking laughable. It's laughable about the reasoning that he gave, that it'll be like it'll help the economy down there to have WWE run these shows, when it's like, no, stupid, it won't, because they are not bringing in any money. They're not selling tickets. This is there's no proof of it, but there's a lot of money getting put into that state in the coming months, and I think that definitely has to do with it. It's laughable that WWE is deemed essential.
And the donation to I hardly want to get political, but also that donation to the president and stuff like that, which I know nothing about. I'm just speculating, but I don't really consider that much, because like the guys that they released, what could they're
no, but
like, who is making the most money out of the guys that they released?
None of them. They cut all these guys, and it saved like $4 million. That's how much they paid to send Goldberg to Saudi Arabia.
Can you guys hear me, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, what a disaster. I think I got everything up and running again. My headphones are shot. I don't know what happened. Everything dropped, but you guys were still able to hear each other, right?
Yes, we've been doing the show.
Okay.
And cool. It's been airing over here. You still have the technical difficulty sign up, but there's an echo on hot mic.
Right now?
Yes.
It's probably because I have you guys on my speakers, because I can't get my headphones to work. And if I don't have my headphones working, I can't hear shit.
Okay. Well, I'm just letting you know what the wonderful people in the chat room are saying. There's a little bit of an echo, but there's no echo on the rant. It's only on the hot mic. So again,
jump into the rant. No, don't jump to the rant.
I mean, look, man, this is our first time doing the hot mic. We decided to do it last minute.
I'm going to shut my mic off. You guys talk for another minute or two. Let me know if the echo goes away out there in audio land.
Okay. They can't hear Tony. Hold on, Kev. Sorry. Let me know if the... I don't know. It's just... I get it. I get the whole... It's a business and everyone's making cuts. But if you're going to be deemed essential... I don't know, man. I mean... Back to your point, Kev, they do it every year. I don't think they do it at this level. And the nerve, I don't even know if it's the nerve. If it's the situation, you're going to put Drake Maverick in the Cruiserweight tournament, and then he's going to put out this super powerful, emotional video, and he's still in the fucking thing. Like, how weird is that?
Has that been taped already, or are they still going?
What is it? Today's April 20th. So Saturday, tonight and next week's SmackDown, this Monday Night Raw, and this Wednesday's NXT taping will all be live as previously planned. So tonight's Raw, SmackDown on Friday, and NXT will all be live this week. And then in April, Saturday, they're April. April 25th. They're taping the May 1st and the May 8th SmackDown. On next Monday, they're going to tape Raw, and they're going to tape Raw for May 4th. And then April 29th, they're going to tape NXT and the May 6th NXT. So they'll be doing mass taping starting next week. So next week they'll do Raw, and then they'll tape another Raw. And then the same thing for Wednesday and Friday with NXT and SmackDown. It's just weird. It's such a... And we talked about it in our text messages. The Good Brothers just signed contracts.
Right.
Mike and Maria just signed contracts.
That's what's weird to me. Maybe because the amount that they signed for more because they were trying to get kept and not go somewhere else. I don't know. It's the only thing I can think of, because like, if they didn't make their downside guarantee amount, then WWE would still have to pay them that if they got fired. If you were under contract and you already hit your yearly downside guarantee, then WWE doesn't have to pay you. So that's like a whole weird thing, because they're like, since Gallows and Anderson re-signed, that's just like an extension of their existing contract, or if they sign new contract. I'm not going to even pretend how it works and why they released who they did. The only thing I can think of is that Gallows and Anderson signed for crazy amount of money, and they just weren't, Vince McMahon or whoever made the decision thought that they weren't worth.
There's a lot of names on the list.
No, we just not gonna pretend like right now.
Sorry, Kev, you were choppy there. I didn't mean to cut you off. A lot of names.
I was done.
A lot of names on the list. Some very surprising. Anderson Gallo is very surprising. EC3. Just because we put so much stock in him, he got that traditional NXT. He's good at TakeOver. He's in the crowd, and then they don't do really anything with him. Rusev is huge.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me at all that EC3 won. Not even remotely.
It's a very interesting cast of characters. I'll go through them really fast. Tony, hit me. I can't hear you. No audio from Tony. Drake Maverick, Hawkins, Anderson Gallows, EC3, Leo Rush, Eric Young, who I kind of forgot was even there, Heath Slater, Aiden English, Kurt Angle, Sarah Logan, Mike Chioda, Eric Rowan, Primo and Epico, Mike and Maria, Zack Ryder, No Way Jose, Rusev. Those are all the on-air talent. And then they furlonged a ton of producers. Lance Storm, Billy Kidman, Mike Rotundo, Fit Finley, Pat Buck, Sean Daivari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, and Shane Helms. So they are suspended without pay.
I think some of them. I think that furlough list is a little misconstrued because I think some of them actually got let go and are no longer working for WWE. I'm pretty sure some are saved and some were axed, and you know, posts by like Pat and stuff, who's already looking forward to getting back into the ring. Pretty sure Pat. Shane Helms, the way he was posting, with that let go.
Well, you have to think that these guys have been in the business for so long that furlough means they're suspended without pay and they can collect their benefits and stuff. And when the company gets back up on its feet, they could essentially be brought back. But these guys have been in the business for a long time and nothing's guaranteed. Your spot is not guaranteed. So, you know, or it might just be, hey, you know, they've just accepted their fate. They're not going to hold their breath. And nobody knows how long this thing's going to be. I was talking with a buddy today, and we were supposed to go see Poison, Def Leppard, Motley Crue in August. And Live Nation put something out today that they don't think they'll be able to run concerts until the end of next year. So you can't be like, you know, you're let go, and then you're gonna go out there and pretend like everything's fine. You're gonna have to move on to the next chapter of your life. And when you cross that bridge, and the WWE reopens, and they figure out what we can do and what we can't do, and if the olive branch gets re-extended to them, then the ball's in their court. But I think everyone has to assume right now they are moving forward without WWE.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Who was the most surprising person, Kevin, that you thought was released from this list?
Gallows and Anderson, probably, and then Kurt Angle.
Who is somebody you're... What about Mike Chioda?
That's surprising, too.
It's a weird one, right?
Well, I guess a lot of it has to do with whether or not you were able to get to Florida. So maybe that's something that they made the decision on. Maybe some of these refs were already there. I don't know. Did Mike Chioda work WrestleMania? Was he there for that? I don't know.
Yeah, but Mike Chioda's been around for like 30 years.
So was Earl Hebner at one point.
I can hear you now, Tony, whatever you just did. Tony.
He just growled.
He just growled. Talk, Tony. You. I can hear you. Let me tell Tony. Tony. I heard you growl.
Tony. It's like a half tiger, half pirate.
Grr. He's really... If we have to scrap the hot mic for the night, we could fuck around with it another day. I'd like to get him involved in this, too. I think Mike Chioda's a weird one. Like, he's been around forever. What? Now I can't hear you. Nothing now. Before, when you went, grrr, like that.
All right.
Grr.
Let's get off of TikTok, please.
I think Ryder's a very surprising release. He's been there for, what, 14 years?
Well, he's in that same category as Mike Chioda, just because he's been there for so long. And if you combine Hawkins' total amount of years there, he's been there for a while, too.
Yeah, but it's like you can't use the Florida thing because Hawkins or Ryder. Ryder is he based out of Orlando, right?
Right, and I mean that was just a theory. It doesn't work for everybody. But and there's the rumor that the guy Ryan Satan from the show posted something on Twitter today that one of the released talent is going to be making an appearance on Raw tonight. So,
I mean,
so what?
What's the?
I mean, to me
but,
that.
Off that list.
To me, that screams Zack Ryder just because he lives there. Now, whether it's not just to put somebody over or not, or it could be, or it could just be a Rusev thing. It could.
Now, I don't want to sound like a dick, but out of all the names on this list.
I don't know.
You know, nobody. Maybe it's either Rusev or Kurt Angle. I'm not going to get it. Look, with all due. If EC3 shows up on Raw tonight, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, he's back. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he teased it like it was big news, and it could just be like, hey, we need somebody to put over Austin Theory. Zack Ryder's here. Let's give him this much money just to come in and put over Austin Theory because he's now in a stable with Andrade and Angel Garza. That's the only my head immediately jumped to who was local or whether or not one of the releases was not really a release, which would be totally ridiculously insensitive if one of the releases turned out to be fake.
That'd be the, I mean, it'd be a giant hunk of shit if they did that.
Yeah, so that's why my immediate reaction was when I saw that tweet, whether it's true or not, that I'm like, who lives in Florida? Zack Ryder lives in Florida. Maybe they'll bring him in to, you know, like I said, put Austin Theory over. Or something like that. Or it could just be total BS. Who knows?
I mean, there's been a Drake Maverick said he's going to do, he's announcing something at 7:30. So maybe that's already been announced on his Twitter.
Was that him? Was that him that was going to make a major? I thought Maria was.
And Maria was announcing. Also going to make an announcement. Maria's announcing something during Raw.
Okay, and Drake Maverick just posted 7:30 as a tweet?
Yeah.
All right. But amongst the releases, obviously the ones that hit like most personally to me were obviously Ryder, Hawkins, and Buck. And to a lesser extent, Hurricane. But yeah, that one kills because now – but the good thing, these guys already got the pro wrestling tea stores up and running. So,
I mean, that's all you can do.
That's it. And, you know, Hawkins sold a whole bunch of his ring-worn gear, and Ryder did the same. Ryder sold a whole lot of his bone-crunching action figures. So.
Bone crunchers.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you can do, really. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's shitty. It fucking sucks. They're not the only company. Tony, we can't hear you, buddy. Nothing. You know, they're not the only company that's been laying people off, though, and I think people need to understand that as well. Like, the people that are going, oh, I'm not watching WWE anymore because of this, like, look, I don't like it either, but at the end of the day, it's a business. Vince is in it to make money, you know? That's the only reason he gets out of bed every morning, is to run his business and make money.
If and then we ever get out of this, whatever we're... I don't even like this pandemic, whatever we're in, or if we ever get out of it, I think there's a good chance that some of these guys will be brought back. Because listen, it's just one WrestleMania away from Vince McMahon making another $1 billion. So, yeah, can Kurt Angle be brought back for appearances? Yes. Can, you know, Pat and Shane Helms be brought back as producers? Can Hawkins be brought back as a producer?
Yeah, but the question is, do they want to?
Well, the thing is, though, there's no need for all these producers now. If and when we get back where there's house shows and whether there's live tapings at different arenas every week, yeah, you're probably going to need producers, live event producers, TV producers, NXT producers, trainers at the Performance Center. You're going to need these people back again once this happens. Now, it's weird. And interesting names that I didn't see on that list were guys like, and again, I'm not wishing that they were. I'm not replacing one with the other, but like Sanjay Dutt wasn't let go. Abyss wasn't let go. So that's kind of weird. Jeff Jarrett wasn't let go. And again, I'm not trying to say, I have no idea what goes on there. So I'm not trying to say some producers are better than the other. I have no idea. But from what Pat like posted on his Facebook, he was like heavy in with Triple H, like talked to him all the time. So that's a little, it's probably just because he's from New York and they couldn't get him there. And like you said, furloughed.
Okay, sure. But you look at all the other wrestling companies and they have not let anybody go. Okay, Ring of Honor actually has paid all their talent, all their ring crew, all their staff, anyone that they had booked for April shows and May shows. I understand.
That's a good point.
I understand this is a business. I get that point. But you're the biggest wrestling company in the world. You know, like to in a matter of a week, you go from being essential to now I'm going to cut 40%. And it wasn't just talent. It was people in the office, too. I get it. But the timing is shitty. You knew that you were going to be in a bad situation when all this shit came down and you had to shit can WrestleMania. But you power through. The WWE Universe is going to power through. You decided the business was going ahead as the owner, the proprietor, the CEO, whatever Vince McMahon's fucking title is. He decided we were going ahead. And then he had a plan in place, and then he said, fuck it. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Then Linda allegedly dumped a shitload of money into Florida through the presidential campaign, and then the next day WWE was deemed essential, and the fucking governor's press conference is a fucking joke. If you go back and you read the transcript, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous, the fact that WWE is deemed essential. And then for him to turn around and get rid of all these people, it's just shitty.
No, it's messed up, man.
Because you knew this was coming. When this all started and they were fucking telling people to stay home and there's no public gatherings and no live events in March, you should have went to these talents and been like, look, if this gets bad, you guys are gone. Instead of these guys going to bed fucking Tuesday night and waking up and finding out they're fucking gone. You know, fucking Myers, his poor wife, she's fucking pregnant. She was working. Now she's the only one bringing in the bacon. She wrote a whole blog about it. It's up on the Wrestling Observer.
She's not bringing in the bacon.
Not anymore, right? She's several months into her pregnancy. It's just shitty. Yeah, I get it. It's a business at the end of the day. But if WWE is the only wrestling company that's fucking letting people go during this, it really shows you that, yes, Vince McMahon is a fucking businessman at the end of the day. He's not a promoter. He's a fucking businessman. He's trying to do business. It's just shitty. It's upsetting. I understand why it needs to be done, yeah, but still, it's shitty.
I don't know how publicly traded companies really work. Like, what's the better optic to shareholders, that you're trying to recoup some money or that you're letting people go? Like, what's worse? Like, what's better? I mean, like, what looks better on your, like, I don't know, what's the word? Portfolio? I don't even know.
Yeah, portfolio.
Like, hey, this.
But this isn't like this isn't like we're not selling house shows out, the revenue's down. Ratings are shit. Like, this is a fucking pandemic. There is nothing you can do to prevent this. Like, you're making zero now, and you will continue to make zero, whether you let all these fucking guys go or not. You know?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Tony. Welcome back, buddy.
I'm ready to throw this fucking laptop across.
The smart one's back.
Can you please unblur your background?
I don't even know how that happened. I bet you if I fucking touch this, my computer's just going to melt where it is.
It should be under Skype where you could blur.
Yeah, I'm looking. Right. I got fucking 10,000 things open.
It hurts my eyes.
Get this shit. All right, I'm getting there. How's that, better?
Much better, thank you.
You're welcome.
Eddie Edwards is pointing at me.
Yeah, he wants you.
All right, Tony. So we talked a little bit about all the releases. Time to get your take on this.
Look, the bottom line is this shit happens every year, right?
Let's get more specific. Let's get hold on, Tony. Let's get more specific. Let's do the questions that we asked each other. Who are you most surprised by? Who are you the least surprised by? Why did this happen? And your reaction. So let's go first with who were you the most surprised by that let go on Black Wednesday?
I was really surprised that Gallows and Anderson would let go, considering that they were in such a high-profile situation at WrestleMania just a few weeks earlier.
Okay, that's it.
And those guys, like, everybody seemed like they wanted Gallows and Anderson to leave, but then they always wound up re-upping their contracts without any kind of issues anyway. So that one really surprised me.
Well, do you think that was because at that time AEW was operational? And now the fact that it's really kind of in the same boat as everyone else, maybe there's no real worries that these guys can immediately jump to another company because no one else is really.
Sorry to cut you off, but I think the big problem is people look at this list of guys and everyone comes to the same consensus that these guys are all talented. WWE didn't use them properly. And they're all going to go to AEW. Newsflash, not everybody's going to go to AEW. Tony Khan's got money, but he's not fucking stupid. He's not just going to hire like 30 people that were just recently fired.
Oh yeah, of course not.
You know?
Of course not.
No, but you'd be surprised, man. Like,
but don't you think that Gallows and Anderson would, if any of them, wouldn't they be the ones that would fit that bill?
No, because I would think immediately Japan for them. Why would they not want to go back to where they made like their bones and probably made their most money they ever made? You know? Seriously,
I don't want to cut you guys both off, but and I don't know if we talked about it. All these guys, 90-day no compete too.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to Tony.
So July 17th, I think would be July 17th would be the first time they could be able to work for somebody else, if at all even possible.
Yeah. So sorry, Tony. Back to you. You think?
All right, I'm going to throw people that are Kevin's wheelhouse under the bus here. I'm not surprised that Curt Hawkins got fired. I'm not surprised that Zack Ryder. Well, maybe Zack Ryder a little bit, but let's be honest. What are they really doing with those guys? You know what I'm saying? All the people that they mentioned from NXT, sorry, I have no idea who the fuck they were. They had a bunch of guys from China, some people from Saudi Arabia. Like, seriously, like, these people have done nothing. Look, any job you've ever had, what's the rule? First, last in, first out. If you just walked in the door, they're probably going to send you out, which is why they got rid of probably guys like Pat Buck, guys like Lance Storm. And I know they're saying a lot of these guys are furloughed, but if it's going to be a long time before they start actually doing like a huge house show run again, these guys are going to be out of a job for a long time, if not permanently, with the WWE. And it's a shame because, I mean, you take a guy like Pat Buck, like, this was his dream to get back there, and they fucking took it away from him a couple of months in. Lance Storm packed up and left his fucking wrestling school, gave up everything and moved down to fucking Florida, and now he's done too. So it's like a lot of guys, like, I mean, they did the same shit to Eric Bischoff a couple of months back, but, you know, whatever. But look, I mean, it sucks, but it's par for the course, you know? Kurt Angle, I mean, like, look, you look at all the names that were there. Like, who else did they let go? They let go of, Hurricane was there. How many other guys that they had as agents? All these guys, super talented, super smart for the business. But there ain't no fucking business going on. Like, how do you justify paying these people? You know?
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Like,
and I get that people are emotional. It's like, you know, if Vince just did X, Y, and Z, and if Vince didn't have the XFL, and if Vince would just fucking reach into his pocket because he's a billionaire. It's not how business works, people. People get fired all the time. If the company's not making money and the company can't be viable, and the company's publicly traded, they have people that are investing their money in this company that they have to answer to. Look, I understand, like, the average, you know, the person that works there, they put in their sweat equity. They make the company. They try to do their best to build. They try to do their best to be the best employees they could be, and I get that. But when you're publicly traded, it's a whole different ballgame. There's people to answer to. Not to mention, not only the investors, but look at all the problems that we talked about last week with, like, the Security and Exchange Commission. Now they have all these class action suits because there's questions that they were dicking around and doing shady things. So it all becomes an issue of they're running a business. And yeah, you can bitch like, well, you know, if Vince didn't run the XFL, he would have had a billion this and a billion that to pay for this and pay for that. Yeah, but that's how business grows. If you don't take those kinds of chances and you don't put money in those kinds of things, you don't know how much further the business can go. You don't know how much more a company can grow. And this shit goes on in business all the time. You think fucking like Bill Gates just sat on his money forever? No, he's fucking putting his money into everything he possibly can, whether it's philanthropy work, whether it's development, whether it's, you know, like offsite stuff or trying to hire different, like, you know, look into different avenues to like to grow the business. It just fucking happens. It's unfortunate that these people are near and dear to us because we watched them, you know, pretty much fucking every week on television. But facts are facts, dude. This is the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
I 100% understand, and I want to give credit to my D-Generation Y cohort, Mr. Anthony Rusinella. He chimed in. He said, it's not a good optic to file bankruptcy on one venture and then fire half your talent and office on the next fell swoop.
But these things happen.
I mean, understand, what? But it's just – it's not – a normal circumstance. I don't know if you heard when me and Kevin were talking about this before.
Heard pretty much nothing.
No other company has fired anybody. AEW didn't let anyone. Ring of Honor's paid all their talent, all their staff, all their ring crew, everybody that they booked to work shows up until the end of May. They're all paid for.
Yeah, but they're also not publicly traded companies, and they also there just didn't take a loss of the fucking of the XFL. You know, look, it's not Vince's fault. The XFL,
but he filed for
second time,
he filed
you know
for bankruptcy.
Yeah, but how much? Listen, how much revenue is there to go around to protect these? And Vince did the right thing with the XFL players. He paid them for the end of the year. He provided them insurance. He's providing all these guys with insurance. I mean,
it just looks bad because you are deemed an essential business. You file for bankruptcy. You get rid of 40% of your staff, not just talent, staff. This is not something, it's not like Vince woke up Wednesday and was like, oh, I gotta fire everybody. No, this is something he knew was an option in fucking March when they closed everything. But he has to be Vince McMahon. He's gotta have his big, I gotta take my giant cock out. It goes from Jacksonville to Margaritaville. He's got to take it out, and he's got to tell everybody, I'll do whatever the fuck I want to do, and he doesn't give a shit about the circumstances. These people, they're people, though.
Part of me wonders if he literally has, like, a dartboard, or if he's getting recommended by, like, talent relations guys. Because, like, do you think Vince went down a list of guys and was like, Carl Anderson? Kurt Hawkins? Like, could Vince McMahon tell us what Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder have been doing for the last 6 months on WWE? Or
no, he probably looked at the list. He probably looked at the list and saw Kurt Hawkins and said, who the fuck is this? Guaranteed. And it's probably not just, and it's not just Kurt. I'm not picking on Kurt.
Is that the guy that plays with toys? Get out of here. Using my WWE money to buy action figures. Dolls! You're fired! I'll sign up for your Patreon, though.
They should have easily turned that into they're part of their gimmick, Hawkins and Ryder. The toy guys. That would have been hysterical on TV. Coming out, like, giving out toys to the kids, and, you know, they stop their match and start their fake fed right in the middle of the ring. Oh.
There's like guys like Hawkins, Anderson, Maria, and Mike, people that were very adamant on social media for the last year and change where they didn't want to be there. Leo Rush with the whole situation with him. Like, I think he knows who those people are. So then he goes and he goes, we gave these guys new contracts. Get them the fuck out of here. Why are we paying them? They didn't want to be here a year ago.
And while they weren't included in like the Black Wednesday, the Revival, you got to put in that list too, because that was, I think, like the under the radar of what's to come next. Because the Revival wanted the release for so long. If they get it, like, what, a week, maybe 4 days before everyone else? That should have been, like, the little clue to everyone that something was going to happen. Because if they wanted it, they could have given it to him years ago.
I'm looking at Kratzo's question in the chat room. He says, isn't it even shittier to be in the news releasing so many guys if you're a publicly traded company? Yeah, of course it is. And it's even more shitty because now these guys, we're in a situation where it's not like, oh, we release so-and-so and then 90 days they're going to be able to work somewhere. This, we don't know how much longer this shit's going to be on. We don't know if WWE, AEW, or anywhere else is going to be on tour. Let's look at it logically. California is talking about not running shows of any kind until the fall of next year. So that already puts next year's WrestleMania in question if they would decide to keep it in California. But these guys, once their 90 days are up, they still really don't have a chance to go anywhere to ply their trade, which is a valuable lesson, people. If you're listening, always have a backup plan. At least Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder can make something of their web series now and actually put a little more behind it and maybe make a big thing that's right now even bigger to make more of a revenue stream out of it, right. So they don't have to rely on getting in the ring.
And what if you went to college, and what if your backup plan was, I don't know, to go to work at a company? Like who's there's every backup plan you could possibly have, unless it was to be a cop or an EMT or a grocer. There's nowhere else to work either. So no matter what backup plan you possibly had for the time being, it's not going to happen.
But you're making a good point. What about people that are in jobs right now that are in the same situation, that have been let go, that may not have something when they get back, because who knows how strong that company is going to be? I mean, you look at the restaurant business. You know, you can't get Chinese food within like a half an hour from my house now because they're all closed up. They're just gone. And it turns out, like, who knows if these restaurants are even going to come back? You know what I'm saying? So it's not just the WWE wrestlers that are in this boat. It's a lot of people in the country. They set records for how many people applied for unemployment in the past week. It's millions upon millions of people. You know what I'm saying?
So, I'll tell you what. This is a big
shitty, but it's across the board.
This is a big dog walking night in West Orange. A lot of people walking their dogs.
Glad you're paying attention, Kev.
You interrupted me for a fucking dog? Are they having a first birthday party for the dog? Are the police out blowing their fucking sirens?
Not a lot of dogs out there.
If I could, Kevin. I just want to put, because he's in D-Generation Y, and he's my brother, I just want to get Anthony Rusinello said, the big deal to me is they could have used these guys to get through instead of relying on their tired stories and talent. They could have made these guys happy instead of making talent travel, offer to keep these guys there, make them part of the stories. Pivot instead of trying to force all the stories you had in place. VKM is too fucking shitty to pivot. He's too big even for a pandemic. So that was Anthony Russ's take. And what was that, Kev?
I mean, how many people are going to have storylines on every single show?
But you have
Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows were in the top storyline on the show, and they
sure.
got cut.
And Rusev was in the top story the last 6 months with fucking Lana.
Yeah.
All
right. So this
you have all these guys. Let's I think his point is, and I can't speak for Anthony, but you have all these guys instead of like Zack Ryder's and he's in Orlando. Why are you not, even if he's just putting use him, as you said before, use him to put over a fucking Austin Theory.
And they might, for all we know. I don't know. I don't know if they won't. It's not 8 o'clock yet, right?
It is 8:01.
8:01.
Drake Maverick's big announcement.
But I was
he will be in the Cruiserweight Championship.
Didn't we already know that?
Freaking da! Yo, yep. I missed it. Did you guys talk about his speech? What did he say?
The video he posted?
Yeah.
He was
the first guy that actually put something out there.
Yeah, he just got off the phone. He got let go. He was upset. It was his dream to be there. He's still going to be in the Cruiserweight Champion. You know, he's still doing that. But, you know, he was a king out of left field.
Did he do a Mick Foley thing where he said he was back for one night and if he wins the championship, he'll retire as the champion or anything like that?
I don't
know.
I didn't see his Twitter. I'm just getting... I got my D-Generation I chat, D-Generation Y chat going too, so...
No. Oh, wait to see. You're paying attention.
Fuck you. I've been carrying this fucking show since you've been fucking around with this hot mic. Don't fucking...
Oh, yeah, I'm fucking around. I'm fucking doing whirly twirlies over here going... fucking retard. Yeah, I said it. Retards.
Dad, can't use that word, Tony.
I'm bringing
Kev,
it back.
You look like you're sitting at Mount Airy Lodge.
I am. I just got hired.
I'm sure.
Kevin's looking cozy.
He is. I'm kind of jealous.
Very relaxed.
All right. Let's. So we got Black Wednesday. All right. Now we're going to go this fucking Money in the Bank thing.
Money.
Let me turn on the light, I guess.
You don't have to turn on the light. No one needs to see you, Kevin. Fucking chill your fucking company. Kevin, don't even put on a light. I'm not paying for that shit.
Listen, I didn't pick up my phone all day thinking I was going to be the next one to go.
We didn't furlong you. We prolonged you, whatever that means.
You said furlong?
Furlong.
Like a Disney movie?
Like all the chocolate titties in their underwears got the furlong. Oh, there's a light. So for those that were giant fans of the cinematic adventures that the WWE has given us the last couple weeks, it seems like that's the direction they're going with this Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
I love it.
Great poster, by the way.
I love it.
Great poster. You know, no Becky Lynch, but she's the next Bruno Sammartino. But great poster. She is not on there. It
she's
is
not in the background.
No, it's Charlotte. It's Braun. It's fucking Drew McIntyre. It's Bailey, Shinsuke is somewhere on the top of the fucking thing. No Becky Lynch. Do you think they gave Tamina the title match to kind of quiet down the fact that her father murdered that girl?
I killed her brother.
No, if anything, that would draw more attention to it.
Oh, yeah. Why is Tamina the number one contender to Bailey?
She's talented, bro. She's a fucking professional wrestler of the highest degree.
Well, she's been getting the push when she's been featured on SmackDown every week before the Snuka thing came out.
Are you excited for this though? They're gonna do Money in a Bank at the corporate. What? So you gotta.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm just excited. All right. We all love the Boneyard match. We all love the Firefly.
Don't say
Funhouse
we
match.
All.
I love the Gargano.
You did.
Ciampa match. I mean, me and Tony. When I talk about WWE, you have to automatically know that you're excluded.
Well, I watched the Boneyard match, but I didn't see the other matches, so I can't comment on the other two. But I think
you haven't watched Firefly Funhouse?
No, I have zero interest in that. None. Look, the Boneyard match works because it's the Undertaker. He's a phenom. He's this mysterious creature. I get it. I understand the circumstances and what we're living in, but this just sounds like terrible. Right. Terrible. If this is going to be like some 45-minute match, like the Gargano-Ciampa match or even the fucking AEW empty arena match that was way too fucking long, like, I don't want to see it. Just show me fucking something that is going to pique my interest. I have zero interest in whatever nonsense the WWE is doing here.
When you have zero interest in 75% of what people are showing you, it's kind of hard for them to pique your interest, your interests are pretty narrow then, aren't they?
We're going away from professional wrestling and you're going more towards movies. Like a cinematic adventure. Like I don't want to watch WWE to see like short flicks. I want to see wrestling. Does that make sense?
What was your gripe again? Did you watch Randy Orton Edge?
No, I did not see Randy Orton Edge. I heard it was super fucking long. I told you guys, I watched a match from WrestleMania.
Right. No, I just want it's been a week or two, so I just wanted to just double check. But you did watch Hager and Moxley.
Yes, and I found it to be if you listen to the AEW post show, I found it to be incredibly boring and slow, and everything leading up to it, I thought they did a great job with it making it feel like a big fight.
But that wasn't a cinematic match.
No, it was just a very, very poorly done empty arena match with a very
poorly.
old, miserable Jim Ross.
He's the best. I love. I can't get enough of his fucking podcast, dude. I swear.
The empty arena match. He's like, why is there guardrails? Why is there chairs? There's nobody here. It's like, shut the fuck up, JR. The fucking empty arena match. Fucking asshole.
Really?
I don't know. I have zero. Like, you're gonna do it at WWE headquarters, and every floor is a match. I don't understand. Are they gonna be taking elevators up to the top? What the fuck are we doing here?
I hope they take it up.
There'll be elevator fights.
I want to hear Here Comes the Money Muzak version when they're in the elevator.
I think what you're probably going to see is you're going to see people, they're going to be like certain like fights going on at a time where you maybe have like two or three guys over here and then two or three guys over here. And then like there's a fight on the elevator, like, oh, let's cut to this where you got like in like the break room or like in the. And what if they go to Triple H's office and they start fighting in Triple H's office or Vince McMahon's office? What if there's a fight in Vince McMahon's office?
I can't wait.
How hysterical would that be? Granted, the concept is kind of goofy in theory, but if they put together for these other ones, I think it could be great. And Matt, we keep saying the phrase "the new normal." For a while, these big matches might be the new normal.
Well, I don't watch WWE to begin with, so I have no interest. I just feel like if this is the new...
We gotta talk about it.
I understand, and I'm not against it, but if this is the new normal and the direction is going, I think WWE is going to alienate a lot of fans.
It's not the new normal. I hate when people say that shit. This is not normal. There's no new normal.
All right,
this is not normal. We will get back to normal eventually. This is not normal.
Tony, sometimes you just have to go with what the majority says.
No, you don't.
It's an expression. It's not literal. It's not literal. All right, Tony. If you get if your five main event matches are the same way, yeah, I'm sorry, Tony. That's the new normal.
Shut up. Blasphemy.
Okay. Corporate Kevin's butt hurt.
Well, nah. I get his point. I get his point. It's not because nothing about what we're doing is normal. But how much, like, it's a phrase that coins a group of things. So yeah, you have to apply it for lack of saying a whole bunch of words that are unnecessary. This is the new normal for wrestling now. It happened three times in 1 week. It happened four times and for AEW. It's the new normal. You have to use it. Tony, you know what?
But you don't, because you could say it's the...
Tony, you know what else is new?
What?
Four horsewomen.
Fuck off. Really?
And there's two of them. And there's two of them, Tony. There's two separate four horsewomen. And they're going to be here forever. That's the new normal woman.
You want to talk about women? Dana Brooke, she qualified for this Money in the Bank match. So that's exciting.
Good for her. Matt, why are they putting the best women up for these women's championships? I don't understand it.
Your girl Shayna Baszler's there. Asuka's there. Nia Jax is in. Gummy. She's back.
Oh, Nia Snax is back?
She's back. Bray's going to defend... Braun's going to defend his title against Bray.
Oh, great.
And Bayley and Tamina. This is what your Money in the Bank is looking like.
Jesus.
And it's probably not going to be The Fiend either, by the way.
No, it's advertised...
So you won't get a cinematic...
Advertises Bray Wyatt right now. Now that could change.
Yeah. So, I don't think it will because of the fact that your kooky wild stuff will be the Money in the Bank matches. So you'll probably just get a normal PC Center Bray. That's what I think.
All right. Well, you got it. Tony. You might be excited about this. Your boy Drew Gulak is in a qualifying match on SmackDown to get into the Money in the Bank against Baron Corbin.
Good for him. I hope he kicks somebody's fucking head off.
Wow.
That stinks.
What?
He's going to lose. No, he's going to lose.
Shut your face.
No. Well, Daniel Bryan just got in. I was hoping that they would both get in and maybe you'd have like one of them turn on the other. But when you just... Actually, maybe Elias cost Braun Strowman in that match.
How does Elias still have a job?
Baron Corbin, not Braun Strowman.
How does Elias still have a job? Can you fucking answer me that?
He plays.
How is he not one of these 40 people that got fired?
He plays the guitar, Tony.
Look at the lot. Look at a lot of these guys. Look at Shelton Benjamin. How does he still have a job? No offense. He's one of my favorites. But he hasn't been doing anything either.
You know what didn't surprise me? Primo and Epico getting fired. Where the fuck have they been?
This again, Tony, this is the new normal.
Fuck off. I hate you so much.
They weren't fired before because there were other places to go. Now there's not.
You're so
even
lucky.
Though they can, I don't know what the scene is like in Puerto Rico. They could easily go back there and be superstars, but I don't know what wrestling is like there right now.
I'm sure it's fucking, I'm sure it's business as usual, honestly.
So they could easily go, there and make a mint. But guys, like, I'm trying to think right now who else they're not. Again, that's why I think there's like a dartboard. And Vince just throws it. And maybe he got wind of maybe a joke that, you know, one of these guys said in a podcast or one of these guys said in something and someone brought it to their attention. I don't know. We don't want to get back there, but I gotta stop saying
What else do we have to talk about? What else did I miss that you guys talked about?
Where we leave off with the,
I don't know what SmackDown? What didn't we talk about yet? Your ceiling, it's very nice and woody.
Dark side.
There you go.
We recorded on Monday, so we didn't get to the snook of dark side.
No, we absolutely didn't. And Matt's got a cat's ass on his fucking head.
Oh, look at you.
I hope he fucking shits on your fucking arm.
It's a she, and she loves me.
I hope she fucking drips cat juice on your arm.
Cat juice?
Do they call it pussy juice? What? I felt weird saying it.
Why? You've never felt weird saying anything else before. She can't hear you, stupid. Oh, never mind.
What else we got to talk about? Hey, you want to talk about Patreon?
Yeah, talk about Patreon as the cat attacks me.
Patreon, $1, blah, blah, blah.
All right, that's a terrible selling job. If you enjoy what we're doing and you can spare an extra dollar, that's it, $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head on over to shiningwizards.com. There's a link for our Patreon. Or if you're a more conventional person and you like to just put the website into your web browser, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, $1 gets you a mention every week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and it gets you a 10% off discount code, which could be used at prowrestlingtees.com /Shining Wizards to buy a Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. And Lord knows we have a variety of t-shirts. Again, if you have the extra ducats, we know that times are tight, money is tight. If you don't have the money, just share. Share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter. Share it on Instagram. Support the Shining Wizards. We're going to take a minute to thank those that support us over here at the Shining Wizards. We'll start with, of course, the queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Cassie. Kathy. Oh,
Miss Cassie.
God.
Miss Cassie.
Miss Kathy Hummer.
Hummer.
Miss Kathy, baby.
Our friend from across the pond. Is it even... I mean, he's over there. He's over some water, right?
And he's listening. Watching on the hot mic.
He is Mr. Manny Craxo, the king of the Shining Wizards. All members of Degeneration Y support the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Hey Tony, maybe your little boy band over there, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, they'll get their fucking alligator arms out of their pockets and support you. Because
they can't even get their fucking picks together with us. Are you gonna fucking donate money?
I know all the members of Degeneration Y support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I'm talking about the old ass, Anthony Russinello. The lard ass, Danny Russinello. the ninth wonder of the world, Kate the Great.
The 1/9th?
That's right. 1/9th.
Did I miss that last
week? I'm pretty sure I fucked everybody's name up. Okay. We didn't give Ryan Arthur a name over at alimentary.com.
He's the fucking Dark Helmet.
No, he's got to be like a Degeneration X. Like, I'm triple XL.
Oh, Christ.
That's right.
Triple XL.
All right.
How about the Helmet Break Kid?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Ryan Arthur
he could be the Hot Pock.
Nobody wants to be X-Pac. Come on.
That's stupid.
Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Anthony just texted me. I fucked everything up, so that's good. Matt Garifo, no relation to the KJG. Matt Mellinger.
Definitely no relation to the KJG.
Yes. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls. Corrine Jansen, she's hot and spicy, member of the radioactive metal community.
Radioactive metal.
Mark Perloni. Mark celebrated his birthday last week. Happy birthday, buddy. I hope you had a good one.
Happy birthday to you.
We know it sucks to be quarantined during your birthday, but call the fire department. They'll fucking do a parade by your house like you're a four-year-old. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinks More. Jay Kopp, the big Kopp of Pump, the only member of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks that supports the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, which is funny because I saw someone suggest to Phil today that they should use Zoom, and he said, oh, you want to finance it? And I was like, oh, I wonder where the money I'm donating to their Patreon is going, because I have not got one fucking perk from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Kopps, the Mott Spock.
Mott Spock, he gets it right. Holy shit.
It only took 2 months. Michael Hammond, a brand new member of the Patreon, as well as David Henry Bauer III.
Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
I would love to be like, you know, the third or a junior. I just feel like it's cool.
I'm a junior.
Yeah, junior fucking junior asshole.
Matt, you're the first.
Yeah, oh, and the last, hopefully.
Yeah, there's no kids in our future. Come on. What are you? Shooting
Stop
blanks.
Pulling out.
I don't pull out. That's the problem.
Ooh, goo goo goo.
But she runs.
Your boys don't swim.
Nah, she runs to the bathroom and she like fucking puts a fucking hose up there, like it's a fucking like it's the fucking 50s in Detroit.
Good lord,
she wants
man.
She wants none of that. Look at me. Do you think you? She wants to procreate with me.
I would.
Oh, I'm glad that somebody.
I would have your kid.
Last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean there, Darth Vader. Jesus Christ, thanks.
Are we looking at Kevin's nipple?
I don't know what Kevin's doing. Kevin's done. He's like...
That last conversation really threw me off between you two.
What, the cat pussy? Or the pussy juice?
No, after that.
You want me to put some guy shitting his balls out again up on the screen for you?
I prefer the turkey one, to be honest with you.
That was hilarious. Happened. That was underrated from last week. Did you notice every time he was like tightening up, it was doing the gobble, gobble, gobble? Hey, can we thank the members of the Shining Wizards Network real quick?
Absolutely. We want to thank our friends over at the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. Even during this quarantine, they continue to put out quality episodes. As much as I like to bust the balls of our friends over at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, they are doing a show every Friday night, and they're trying their damnedest to get it together over there. I know the struggles. We know the struggles. Skype is not the easiest platform to use, but they're putting out great content every Friday night. The High Spot Podcast, don't even know if they're still a thing, but if they are, check them out, because they're doing stuff over there. Radioactive Metal, Snowy has nothing but time on his hands, so in one hand, he's coming, and he's got, like, heavy metal, right? And he's got that in his one hand. In the other hand, he's like, I'm going to do a wrestling podcast. So now Snowy's got two podcasts. He's got Radioactive Metal, he's got Wrestling Night in Canada, and he puts it together, and he sticks it all together. He's got two shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Natty Bumper Car has a show. He's apparently supposed to be pretty funny. I don't know if he is, because I've never listened to his shit. KP Burke's got a show, American Loser. Don't even know if he's still doing that. You know, he invited me to do a show with him before all this happened.
Like a year ago.
That sounds about right.
But I don't know anything about history, so I don't know what I bring to the table. I would just probably curse a lot and get drunk. But whatever. He's got a podcast, so that's worth checking out.
That's everybody.
That's everybody.
Yes.
All right. Calls. Yeah. Memory.
Yeah, bitches. Yo, my forehead is awfully shiny. What the fuck?
It's the lighting in your basement, dude.
Yeah, maybe I should turn the lights off, get a little romanticized.
Oh.
Kevin, I wanted to put the wall behind us because we were going to be on tonight, you know?
I swear to God, if you had a cardboard cutout of the wall from WCW, I would have fucking corpsed right now.
Dude,
I watched.
Do you need me to send for the man?
I watched a lot of bad wrestling this week.
Really?
I did watch.
Worse than MLW?
The wrestling in MLW wasn't bad. It's all the other shit.
Dominic Guarini can't take a bump for shit, dude. They should put him in a tag team with fucking King Mo. They could call him the fucking awfulest tag team of all time.
I can't believe King Mo is still in the top 10. Why is King Mo still in the top 10?
He moved up, dude. He's like number 6 or number 5 now.
Yeah, we didn't do that yet, Tony. We didn't do the top 10.
Well, there's no list of it online.
I got it. I got it right here in my brain.
Oh, you got it. You're the fucking man, dude.
All right, Kevin. Jacob Fatu, he is our world champion. Who's your number one? Who's number one right behind him?
Oh, it's got to be Beef Castle.
It is Beef Castle, Mr. Alexander Hammerstone.
On the top of Meat Mountain, baby.
All right, our number two spot belongs to...
That's Davey Boy Smith Jr. because Myron Reed got pushed down to number 3.
Do you know... Tony, do you know it?
No, I'm guessing.
He knows it.
That's he knows two and three. He's got it right. Davey Boy Smith Jr. sits at number 2, and Myron Reed sits at number 3. Holding the number 4 spot.
Kevin?
Oh, we're going up. All right.
No, we're going down.
No, we're going up.
We're going down. You go up to number 1. You go down to number 10.
No. Why do they think you...
Because number 10 is not the top right person.
We're going up, though. That's what I said. We're going up.
No, we're going down.
No, see, if you're going down, that's why they call it a countdown. It's because you're counting down from 10 to 1. We're going up from 1 to 10.
We're counting down.
You're an idiot.
You're wrong.
So why do they call them countdowns, then?
Because they're wrong.
All right.
We're going up.
Shut up by your face.
We're going down. We're
going up. So are we
number four?
Unless we're going down, unless we're going from 10 to 4, then yeah.
Number
4 down.
Is Tom Lawler.
Wrong. Matt? Wrong.
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 Oh, number 4 has got to be Pillman, right?
Correct.
All right. Number 5
Who
is
got
Tom
it first,
Lawler.
Though? Who got it first? I got it first.
Okay, whatever. It's not a contest. Relax. Holy
it is
shit.
Now.
All right. Well, number 5.
Tom Lawler.
Number 5 is Tom Lawler.
I am gonna kill you. Fucking awful music.
The worst. Fucking Dominic Guarini sucks. Number 6.
I wish we were going down. I'll go.
Mancer.
No.
Holiday.
Your boy, King Mo.
Kevin is right. King Mo is number 6. He's fucking suspended. He fucking sucks. I don't know why he's even in the fucking top 10.
Because he beat Lowkey.
He didn't beat shit. He cheated. Props to them using the interview from Busted Open with Dave LaGreca and the jerk-off that runs fucking King Mo's camp.
They used 20 seconds of the fucking thing.
You know what?
All he did was say, like, oh, he beat Lowkey. It was like,
he didn't
really?
Beat Lowkey. He's a fucking liar. Number 7.
That's Holiday.
No.
No?
No.
Well, it ain't Guarini, is it?
No.
Mance?
Kevin, that's with Mance Warner. Number 8.
Holiday.
Kevin, or Tony, you are correct. Holiday. Number 9.
Lowkey.
Correct. Number 10.
Oh, fuck me.
One of the Von Erichs?
It is not a Von Erich.
Wait,
Puma King?
It's not Puma King, although I do enjoy some Puma King.
That's not Guarini, is it?
It is Dominic Guarini.
Yeah, that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
Ugh, terrible.
Richard Holiday defends his Caribbean title next week against Chessman.
I like how they say he's not the champion, but he's defending the title.
Really? I mean, they said Brian Pillman Jr. had his fucking jaw wired shut and he was eating cake at the end of the show, so.
Mark Bauer's a fucking liar.
He was cleared to wrestle while his jaw was wired shut. When your jaw's wired shut, you're not even allowed to drink stuff.
Well,
incorrect.
They had to take the wires off, Kev. You had to eat some cake.
Yeah, through a straw. Yeah, I get it, Matt.
No, Brody King worked a ton of Ring of Honor with his jaw wired shut.
Like shoot or?
Yeah, like shoot. His jaw was wired shut and he worked like.
All right.
The last, not final battle last year, maybe? Yeah, in the last year or so, he worked like a month with his jaw wired shut. Let's see. What do we got? What do we got? The New Day are the tag team champions again?
Yes.
Sons of Guns.
Because The Miz stinks.
Whoa, hot take.
He ate a big ending when he had what's-his-nuts in a figure four. Yes.
So the New Day's the tag champions. No one cares. Let's see. Somehow they're going to cram all the shit in the SmackDown Friday night. It's Triple H's 25th anniversary celebration. Sasha
and he deserves it, rightfully so.
Great. All right. Triple H, great. Sasha takes on Lacey Evans in a Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Yo, I got to say it again. Lacey Evans got some junk in that trunk.
Dude. All right. Tony's into Lacey Evans.
I'm a huge fan of the high-waisted trunks. I like them.
All right, great. Did you follow wrestling Twitter after dark last week?
Do you mean the after dark show from Snuka?
No, like there was like a hashtag wrestling Twitter after dark, and it was all wrestlers with like just the outline of their dick in their underwear standing in front of a mirror and like.
No, how did I miss this? Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious.
Holy shit, dude. Wait, so that hashtag is still there, right?
Yeah, you could pull it up if you really wanted to. And there's like half naked chicks. It's
interesting. Wait. What was the hashtag again?
Wrestling Twitter after dark. The tag titles are on the line this Friday night as Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defend against Carmella and Dana Brooke.
Well, Lottie fucking do.
There you go. In the network department, the WWE Network has added more superstar shows.
Yeah, but from like 92, 93, right?
Yeah.
I want them to go back. They keep going forward. I want them to go back.
Well, at some point, they're going to have to stop going forward and have to go backwards, no?
Yo, this is amazing.
What do you got for us, Tone?
Oh, man. I don't know who Lena Nicole is, but good Lord.
Can you throw it up on the screen for us?
Put a booty up on the vanity. Oh, you want me to? We could do that. The people at home won't get to play along.
That's fine, but at least, you know, last week you're showing guys jerking off. At least show Kevin some chicks in their underwear.
Look, I got a lot of shit going on here, as you know. So I'm just trying to figure all this out. Here, wait, let me. Okay, yes, here we go. Start sharing. I'm hooked and I can't stop sharing. Oh, baby. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Here's Lena Nicole. She got a nice shit locker there. I don't know who Kelsey XO is. M4 Rebel Girl. It's kind of nice.
All right. It's Cody Rhodes.
There's Cody Rhodes in a suit.
Chloe Kink. Clinky Kia. She got a Toy Story tattoo. Check that out. Toy Story 4.
Wow. She's real young.
Boneyard Match Daddy. Lauren Ray 83.
I can't see anything.
Click
on that Candy Cartwright, though.
Wow, that's pretty
that's
nice.
What I'm talking
right
about.
There.
Yep.
Fuck it. At least I'm cute. Tara Lynn Ann, not bad. I like it.
All right. See, you got to spend more time on Twitter, bro.
Ooh, look at them sweater stuffers. Good Lord Almighty! How did I not know about this?
I don't know.
Lilith,
that one's
a
little weird. Who is that?
Nice, Camille. Yo, Camille got her retainer on and shit.
No, she got her. She had her jaw wired shut.
Oh, did she?
And she was cleared.
I don't know what that is. Oh, a spanky spanky.
All right. Well,
have a gif of me spanking myself. All right. Death.
We've lost Tony.
Oh, I'm gone?
No, here. You're still there, but I mean, like, you have. There you go.
Yo, this guy looks like Matt.
That's JD Drake.
Yo, this looks like your before DDP picture from a couple years ago.
I would never rock the banana hammock. Come on.
Come on, dude. That guy's packing some beef and some heat.
That
right
looks
there.
Like William Mercier Jr.
Hunter Brooke? I can get down with that. That's all right.
All right.
Oh, wait, she put a Heine picture, too. Matt doesn't like it.
I didn't say that.
Matt?
Oh, God.
The porcelain pumpkin. I like them. Look at that. Not bad.
Yeah, she's
bad.
Showing her hitters.
Masha Slamovich?
I don't know. These might just be fans, too. I don't know.
That's all right. I'm a fan.
You're a fan?
Oh, boy. Oh, good lordy. Good Lord Almighty.
Go to Wrestling Twitter After Dark. Search that hashtag. Tony is having a good time. MLJ's got that hammer.
My man, pots and pans.
You guys are creepy.
I'm surprised you didn't know anything about this.
I had no clue.
Wait. Yo, Taco Michinoku.
Not Taka, Taco. Taco.
I said Taco.
Got a taco.
Good Lord. This is the bitcher, not the butcher. All right, I had enough. We gotta get back to brass tacks here. Come on. Oh, Kratzo just posted some subreddits for us. Wrestling with the plot or wrestling with the package? I'm sure that those are good ones.
Oh boy.
We'll have to check those out at a later date.
All right.
I'll report back next week.
All right, this is weird now that I can see me.
Oh, you can see us. Do you see Hot Dong?
Yeah. Oh, goddamn. I almost just died. Holy shit. I didn't even notice that.
Love you, Kev.
All right.
What happened?
Nothing. You're good. Oh, man. Wednesday night Dynamite. We have Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, Kip Sabian versus Dustin Rhodes. Dustin said if he can't beat Kipster, he's going to retire.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Batten down the hatches.
No, I think the storyline fits, man. He beats Kip, and then he goes on to face Lance Archer in the semis, and Lance Archer fucking tears him up, boy.
If it was against anybody else, you'd throw that, like, sense of doubt, like, all right, well, Kip Sabian, the young guy, he should beat Dustin Rhodes, but should he? No, he shouldn't. Dustin Rhodes should beat Kip, and, right, go on and just get destroyed by the Archman. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of factors, though. Kip's got that hooker with him, Penelope Ford.
After Dark.
That's not very nice. You called her a hooker?
Yeah, she's a hooker, bro.
That's not very nice. I just want to let you know, despite all the problems we had with the technology tonight, everything's matching up quite nicely. Like, the video's actually, like, pretty close to the audio. I've got no more issues popping up. Everything's running smoothly. The computer's not about to explode anymore. Once we got this all figured, it's actually going quite well.
I'm having a blast. Kevin gives us a thumbs up.
Good Kevin time.
Gives the fucking all Orange right. Cassidy thumbs up there right go. There. I like it. I like it. So give us some more about the AEWs. I know you, dude. Here's the thing. Like, I feel like we don't want to bring it up anymore because I know, like, you unload everything on Wednesday and it's a fantastic show. I just don't know. I mean, if you're in the mood to cover it again, I'm more than happy to let you cover it.
Well, I love getting on.
No, he was going.
Opinion,
I think he
so.
Was going on with what's going to happen this week. As
this
in, like,
week,
2
sure.
days from now.
I mean, did
sure.
you guys watch last week? Did you watch the empty arena match? Let's talk about it. Let's get
right,
your
well,
opinion.
Here's the thing. My plan was to watch it today, and I guess when I was half asleep last night, I started deleting things off of my DVR. And unfortunately, I saved an episode from 3 weeks ago, and I deleted that episode. So I need to find it again. Not for lack of trying to prepare for this week's show, but I did watch quite a bit of it last week. If you refresh my recollection, I could tell you exactly.
I'll tell you right now, because I'll tell you the thing I was looking most forward to, obviously, other than as much as we talked about Hager Moxley, I really wanted to see Lance Archer versus Colt Cabana. And once I saw that they were opening the show, normally you guys know me. Normally I'm an NXT guy. I'll watch NXT and then watch AEW later. But I wanted to watch Colt Cabana on TV against Lance Archer, and it was perfectly awesome. And Colt worked like Colt, and then he was serious when he had to be. And then Archer's finisher is just ridiculous, and the way, like, he knocked some jabroni out in the front. I think it was like one of the I thought it was one of the guns, but that doesn't make sense, because if he knocked out one of the guns, then the other gun should have done something. But I was really looking forward to the Colt Archer match, and I think Archer might. I think we predicted between the three of us, Darby or Guevara to win. I think out of the three of us, those were the two guys that we had going. But I think now it's inevitable that Archer is going to win this championship.
Now, I was thinking Darby Allin. Didn't I think Darby Allin was going to win?
No, Tony, Matt thought Darby Allin in one of his after shows, I think. And then me and you on one of our two-man army shows, both went with Guevara.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for reminding me. But that was before
I think anyone was announced, to be honest with you.
I'm a big fan of Darby. I don't think Cody needs the title, and I don't think Archer needs the title. And they set the stage with the dissension after the tag match a couple weeks ago with Cody and Darby. Darby steals a win from Cody, and he advances to the finals. Darby obviously beats Sammy Guevara. Then on the other side, Lance fucking destroys Dustin. Dustin wins. He's I thought I was gonna retire. I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. He beats Kip Sabian, great. And Lance Archer just fucking beats the piss out of him. What better way, leading all the way up to Double or Nothing with Jake and Lance Archer just antagonizing Cody? Come on, big man, let's do it. We are ready for you. And they have Cody get involved in the finals and cost Lance Archer the title. Not only does it mean that Darby and Lance is the match at Double or Nothing, it means that we prolong this story between Cody and Lance Archer.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, you don't want to shit on Darby in winning the title. So there's got to be some reason that Cody comes out. Not even just so much to get his revenge on Lance Archer, but I think, like, if you're going to crown a guy, you know, with a brand new championship, you kind of want to make him look good. And you don't want him to have to take a win in some sort of like, oh, it's the Cody and Lance show, and then Darby Allin was just a secondary player winning a title. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if it's done right, like, look at Mick Foley's first title win.
Well, getting it done right probably means that Jake is getting involved somehow to make Lance, like, you know, give him an even bigger beatdown. And then Cody eventually says, fuck it, I've had enough. You know what I'm saying?
And look, Darby's over, man. Darby's so over, and I think a title on him would be perfect. Cody doesn't need it. Lance Archer definitely doesn't need it.
Which begs the question, why would you put these guys in this tournament? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you really need a tournament to build an issue between these two?
For guys like Guevara and like Darby Allin, who are smaller, but they want to be looked at as top-tier guys, over Lance Archer and win.
What are the possibilities for the second round? What are we looking at right now? Like, there's a couple more
There's only two more matches. More first round matches. Darby against Sammy. The winner takes on Cody. And Kip versus Dustin.
The winner goes against Cody. Okay.
Yes, and then Kip versus Dustin, and the winner faces Lance Archer.
You think it would have been smarter to put a couple of the younger guys against each other up top? Like maybe Darby against Sammy for the championship?
Well,
like,
here's...
Have, like, the shenanigans go, like, in the second round and then just put these guys to face each other in the final?
Here's what I think. I think the title was planned to happen, as was the tournament, but because of everything that's happening, they had to change gears and use what they have there. If you recall, they're done. They've taped up until Double or Nothing, May 23rd.
Okay.
So that was 2 weeks ago.
I still think the field was fine. People that were in the tournament. I wouldn't replace anybody with anybody else.
No, but to Tony's point, like, move people around. So maybe that Darby Sammy match, maybe that's your final match, or maybe that's your semifinals match.
Yeah, like you could have Lance Archer fuck with Cody in the one match, and then move it on where Cody fucks with Lance in the other match, and they set up like two guys who are like pretty much innocent in the bullshit, but then they get on a collision course, and I think it makes the win eventually that much more valuable. You know what I'm saying?
I totally do, but wouldn't a final, like, when you look at a tournament, like, wouldn't, like, the final, like, if a Darby or a Guevara beats a Cody or a Lance or a, not Dustin, like, don't people usually just remember the final of the tournament? And, like, win over a
Yeah, but ultimately, if Darby winds up beating Lance Archer, what good does that do Lance Archer if he beats him clean? And then, like, now you have shenanigans. Now you make Darby look foolish. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I do. And I think their audience, AEW's audience, would get much more pleasure out of seeing a Darby-Guevara match in the finals. So I guess it's, but I don't know. To me, it always felt like this tournament was or Darby over, and I thought Guevara only. Now, this was before Matt Hardy came in, by the way, that I thought Guevara was good. Just because I thought the antics between him and Jericho would have been hysterical, but Yeah. I mean, I'll take. I don't think they can go really wrong with anything that they choose with this at this point.
Did you like the what do they call it? The Bubbly Bunch? Oh, I thought that was funny as
fantastic.
Shit. Really funny. And it gets these guys on TV. It gives them something silly to do, and it just made sense.
Look, it's I don't want to make it an AEW versus WWE thing, but AEW is, they're more successful with the being the elite stuff. So a situation like this, as crippling as it is to everyone involved, WWE, AEW, Impact, don't forget Impact's still running. They taped until mid-July.
That's an awful lot of fun.
Without their world champion and their tag team champions.
Oh, great. So Tessa's going to be champion until August.
Isn't night one of Rebellion tomorrow?
Yes.
There you go.
But that's like, you know, look, MJF, if you follow him on Twitter, he's borderline breaking character now because he is making it seem like there's a reason why he's not on TV, and it's something more serious than it's a more serious matter. He's trying to break kayfabe. But then is it a work? Because you feel like he's always fucking working you. And people are like, oh, why aren't you on TV?
Oh.
Well, you know how, but if it's done right with MJF, where he's telling, you know, at wrestling conventions, he's telling the guy in the wheelchair that to get out of the chair and shake his hand and be respectful. And he's a douchebag on Twitter up until the point where, you know, it's a shitty fucking heel thing to do. But if you're going to use the pandemic that's going on and not necessarily say that you're being affected by it, but beat around the bush just to make it a work so you could get yourself over. Cause I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're building to Moxley and MJF at Double or Nothing. And I think they're going to do it all through vignettes where it seems like MJF is on Twitter and he's saying, this is a serious situation. I'm trying to get it taken care of as fast as possible. And then maybe they do some weird vignettes going into Double or Nothing. I don't know if my wrestling career will become anything of this because of what happened to me. And then just to have him fucking turn around and Shanghai fucking Moxley right before it or something. I feel like there's something in place for that. I don't know if you follow MJF on Twitter, but if you do, look it up because he's up to some weird shenanigans where he's usually being a complete dirtbag on Twitter. And now I just feel like it's
I saw him post some weird video, but all I could do was like.
All you could do was what? Make that face?
No. Well, again, the connection. But I immediately, whenever I see him post stuff, I just go to the comments and see what people say about him.
All right, Sorry, Kev. Here's this. Someone tweeted, you ever going to wrestle or just be a glorified fan? Talk is cheap. Go after Mox. This is one day ago. My issue has gotten worse. It looks like I might need surgery. I'm genuinely trying my best to come back for you guys. Then he said, going to take a break from Twitter. It's work, right? He's just going to get the sympathy and then turn around and tell everyone to go fuck themselves.
Yep,
pretty much.
If that's the only platform he can do it on, then it's going to be. Yeah, I mean, what else can you do? He's not going to be there on the show. This is the next best thing, and it'll get what, probably like 50,000 views per, or probably more than that per post. So why not? Yeah, keep yourself relevant.
That's it. You do. And I think AEW has that knack. The Bubbly Bunch is a perfect example. Santana and Ortiz have been off TV for weeks. Now you get them involved. And if you watch Jericho do his Facebook Live thing Saturday night, there's going to be another one this Wednesday night. It's going to be even better, they say.
Yeah, he's been doing good with that stuff, his live stuff.
His audio's a little shitty. He can get a soundboard. I could help him.
He loves you.
Someone's got to. But yeah, I think AEW is doing smart stuff, and I talked about it Wednesday night. They've put themselves in a position where, worst case scenario, they want to do this AEW Double or Nothing. They can fly all these people in 2 weeks beforehand, keep them quarantined for 2 weeks, and then you have them for Double or Nothing, and then use them for the tapings to get you to wherever, September. You know, like they're kind of ahead of it. And Tony Khan, he's a money guy. He's got the money. I know a lot of people, a lot of these WWE guys that are going down to Florida for these tapings, they're staying in Florida, and I'm sure WWE is taking care of them. The same can be said for Tony Khan. You know, you've taped up until May 23rd. So what's not to say that at the beginning of the May, you fly out the Santanas, the Ortizes, the MJFs, all these guys that haven't been on TV. You fucking quarantine them to a hotel for 2 weeks. Every day you have a doctor go by, take their temperature, check on them, whatever you need to do. And after 2 weeks, if they're good, they're there. You have them for the show and you have them for the tapings. And that can get you to, you know, August, September, you know, who knows how long this is going to be. But I feel like AEW's gotten ahead of this where they can kind of keep everybody safe. There's no guarantee. There's no way that everybody can be safe, but I don't know. I like the way they're doing their stuff. And you can see WWE is taking the same actions by doing multiple tapings at a time. So, you know, yeah. WWE's got their shit planned all the way up until July 8th.
All right. I was going to say, like, who do you think has more of an ear to what's actually going on? Tony Khan, who's also, I know his father's owner of an NFL franchise. You know, the NFL is all over everything. Do you think they have more of, like, an intel on what's happening than Vince McMahon? Or do you think it's kind of, like, the same?
No, didn't Donald Trump make Vince McMahon, like, the head, the head of that fucking...
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He's not gathering. The head of it. He's part of like this big like committee that involves a whole bunch
Roger
of like
Goodell.
Yeah, so it involves like the Dana White, Roger Goodell, like all like the heads of like all the different sports. So it's not like, oh, you know, Trump is in Vince's pocket. I know you guys were touching on this shit before, but he pretty much reached out to everybody. So
yeah, but in my head when I brought that up was I thought that maybe the Khans had more of an in because of the NFL, but then I realized that McMahon's on that committee too, so it really doesn't make... They probably all know everything.
Yeah, look, everybody's looking for an in because it affects their pockets.
Yeah, of course.
So I hope they can figure it out. You know, like we talked about last week, Ring of Honor still putting stuff up on YouTube. New Japan. Tony, your boy Tanahashi made some very, very interesting comments at the...
Oh, what did he say?
Well, they had a meeting, and it was kind of overshadowed last Wednesday by all the WWE releases. All of the promotions in Japan, sent a representative to meet with the government. So Tanahashi was there, Mayu Atani from Stardom was there, someone from All Japan was there, Pro Wrestling Noah. Tanahashi essentially said, wrestling needs to be the last thing to happen, because that'll give people a sense of normalcy. So you can do your baseball and you can do whatever with live fans, but he feels that wrestling should be the last thing to happen with a live crowd, because then that means things are back to normal.
Putting wrestling over... I mean, I get what he's doing, but...
He's putting wrestling over, but in a very weird way.
Well, sure, because he was saying that, you know, go ahead with all the other sports. We won't get back to doing our thing until it can be done right. And at the same time, all these people have New Japan, all these wrestling promotions make all their money from all these live shows. So no shows means no revenue. And they just got hit with a second virus. They got a second wave the other day, so it doesn't look like they're doing anything anytime soon.
Hey!
Not that kind of wave, you fuckface.
Now, can we talk about... Real quick, can we talk about a certain debut on NXT?
Sure, who debuted?
Timothy Thatcher.
Didn't Killer Cross debut too?
Yeah, baby. I was going Thatcher Town, though.
Go ahead, I'm going to go take a leak real fast.
Another one? Bitch bladder.
Fuck you.
Fuck off. I'm so glad we're doing a video show, and this cocksucker keeps getting up to go take a piss. That's right, flip everybody off.
I like his action figure collection, though, so I'll look at that.
Eat dicks, Tony.
Eat dicks? For dinner nightly, sir. You ain't telling me anything new.
Now you guys got, like, beautiful backdrops. You got the Wall of Fame. He's got his bobblehead and wrestling figure collection. Let's see. Who's done that? Well, you got Paul London. Who's that? Davey Richards right behind you? Or is that Matt Seidel? That's Matt Seidel.
Oh, let me see. You can make me get up now. Everybody going to look at my hiney.
Is that Evan Bourne directly behind you?
I've got Paul London. I've got Matt Seidel. I've got Eddie Scorpio. Edwards. I got Flash Funk. I got Casey Catal. Yes, and Jerry Lynn. I've got Taz, John Morrison, Brian Myers, EYFBO, Proud and Powerful. I've got the Elementary Brewing Company. Don't forget to go visit those guys. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat with his NWA United States Championship, which I thought was a cool picture.
I was just talking about what's in the shot. I was just talking about what was in the shot. But,
I was just trying to get everything together. Oh, here he is, Bitch Bladder. What's up, fella?
Nothing. What's up? I thought you were talking about Timothy Thatcher and Killer Cross.
We did.
We got distracted.
Sorry, what?
That they have a gay relationship.
You got distracted once you left. I started at your wrestling figures and bobbleheads, and then Tony's Wall of Fame. But yeah, so Timothy Thatcher debuted as the mystery partner of Matt Riddle against the Undisputed Era's team of Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. And I think it was like the first time I've ever seen Fish and Strong team together. Usually it was, if I remember, it was Kyle O'Reilly and Strong who held the belts for a while. And Tony's dancing. Tony, why are you dancing?
My asshole is falling asleep from sitting in this chair for so long. You know what it is? I do my workout on Monday before we do the show. And I do some leg shit, some core shit. And then my asshole gets all fucking tight. And then I sit in this chair for 2 hours, which is not the most comfortable thing in the world, actually. I thought these chairs would be a little more comfortable. Don't you fucking... Don't you have to take another piss?
No, but I didn't know about the Timothy Thatcher thing until Matt. I believed you texted me because I was actually watching AEW over NXT, and you texted me about the Thatcher thing because I was pretty pumped about that.
He was a big star in MLW. They both were. Look at that. Two MLW guys debuting on the same night. What are the odds?
Yeah, but we don't know that it's Killer Cross yet, do we?
Yeah.
Did they say his name? They didn't say his name, did they?
His name is Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross, yeah. He's got his own merch and everything. Yeah.
Hey, he's just like Jesus around Easter. He's Karrion Kross. Hi-o!
Nice.
That's it. I'm here all week.
Well done. Beautiful. I liked it.
Thank you.
God damn it.
Not your joke.
Hey, we got any more news and notes to cover before we start going home? Because I got to go home today. It's a fucking good one, too.
All right. Well, I mean, the Shining Wizards Cup is coming to an end.
We need to talk about the cup.
I put out a video this afternoon. The finals have been set. Yeah, and you know what was the most surprising thing? And I don't know if I don't want to spoil it for people. You got to watch the video. But the finals matchup, these two teams, they've only met a handful of times, which is fascinating. Yep. Fascinating.
Really, you would think that those two teams, considering... Not that they came up together, but a lot of their career time overlapped, and they happen to be in the same promotion at the same time. So you would think it was a lot more.
Remember how they spent most of their careers, where they were.
Look, they were both teams were involved in a lot of the same story angles, a lot of 8-man tag matches. They met 5 times.
Five times.
1-1 with 3 double disqualifications and countouts. So it's very interesting. And then one team did wrestle the other team a couple times, but it wasn't the other team's original members.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm
not going to give it away.
So,
I think I know where. I think I know where the matches happened and who the other person was. So,
big props to Baza, our friend from the UK, who actually fucking put in a hell of an effort to try to get one of the final four teams into the championship. And you'll have to listen to Matt's video to find out if he was successful.
Kevin's making faces over here, but my boy got votes, bro. He came correct. I don't care what you say.
No, but when Tony says hell of an effort, that's a spoiler, Jace.
Yeah, but they don't know what team. If you're listening to this and you're not following us on Facebook and Twitter, you don't know who Baza was lobbying for. And hopefully the video on our YouTube, youtube.com/wizardspodcast.
Shining Wizards, I think.
Okay.
Something like that.
Or that.
Just search the Shining Wizards on YouTube.
The video is only 10 minutes, and it's a good watch. I put a lot of effort into this one, so.
Sure did. Actually, you went through the history of the two teams in the finals in terms of their wins and everything.
I did. I'm very proud of it.
It's good work, man. You've been having a lot of fun with that, too. I could tell when you're doing them.
I do enjoy it quite a bit. I watched a lot of wrestling this week, as I said before. I went down many rabbit holes, and I think I texted both of you. WCW, like the end of 1999, was fucking awful.
Dog shit.
Well, me and when we did our Christmas watch along with the throwbacks on Starrcade 99, it was pretty apparent then, right?
Oh, but that I watched that Nitro after that. It was Piper's there with his kid. His promos don't make sense. There's a shitty Goldberg and Bret Hart promo. The fucking Maestro has a match and he beats somebody. Yeah. The Wall wrestled Sid with Berlin, like, turning on the wall, but Sid beating up Berlin. It was like, what the fucking creative control? And it was fucking bad. It was so bad. And then I watched some Sold Out 2000, which has a really good Crowbar against
Triple Threat, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Crowbar against David Flair against
Bam Bam?
No.
Funk?
No, why am I fucking blanking?
Vampiro.
Yes, Vampiro, which was really, really good.
Vampiro.
Some weird match with Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko. No, I'm sorry. It was Billy Kidman against Dean Malenko, and it was like the floor outside the ring was made of lava, and if you went and touched the floor, the match was over.
Oh, I remember this.
I remember this, and they screwed up, and they were out in like the first 5 minutes, and they were allowed back in.
Yes.
No, Dean Malenko powdered, and that was the match.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Fucking retard.
Yeah, it was, so I watched that. I watched. What was that, Kev?
No, everybody at once. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, well, if you're, because I'm going to move on to ECW, so if you have something, a point to that.
I'm just saying there's a lot of different points where people point out where the wheels came off at WCW. The wheels came off for WCW to me probably about 4 or 5 months or 6 months prior to this. And it just completely gets worse and worse and worse as we go. So, and to your point, this pay-per-view.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was the Nitro had the Revolution. No, there was a match with the Varsity Club against Harlem Heat. And every member of the Varsity Club at one point sat in on commentary during the match.
Yeah. It was bad, man. And was this Booker T and Stevie Ray, or was this like,
yes, because they had the lights went off and Midnight showed up in the match.
Yeah.
And then they went one on one, it Sold Out, which if we could find, like, Tony, I know you're a very busy man. Kevin, I'm sure you're a busy man too. If we could find like a 2 hour and 40 minute window, I would love to do a watch along to NWO Sold Out, or not NWO, just Sold Out 2000. Because it is. There's some bright spots, but goddamn, some of the matches just seem like a hunk of dog shit. Billy Kidman had three matches. He had to wrestle Dean Malenko, then he had to wrestle Perry Saturn. And then he had to wrestle a mystery guy. And I don't know who that mystery guy is because I didn't get that far yet. So don't fucking tell me, Kevin, because I didn't look it up. Then
I thought that either, I think Tony Schiavone watched that like a month or two ago. Because I seem to remember he watched a show with the three Billy Kidman matches, which was a fucking complete head scratcher.
Well, don't forget.
I don't think it was Schiavone. It was one of them, though.
Because that Starrcade 99 we watched with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Kidman had two matches there, too.
It's fucking crazy. Absolutely fucking crazy. Why would you put somebody through that on a consistent basis? Fucking insane.
It's such a boner for him.
Bro. Kidman's going to wrestle three matches, bro.
He's the worst. Then I watched, I piggybacked our conversation last week, and I watched Barely Legal and then a bunch of the TV leading into Hardcore Heaven.
Nice.
Yeah, it was done. You forget just how, like, an FBI and a BWO match on paper was like, oh, whatever. But then you watch it and you're like, holy fucking shit, these guys are awesome.
Dude, FBI was always amazing. When they would have the fucking little dance contest, Tracy Smothers doing the fucking dance and everything. That was good shit. Really good shit.
Yeah, so I seriously enjoyed a lot of old school wrestling. And I told, was it you I was talking to or both of you? Or I was watching this weird, I watched two, I signed up for the High Spots Network.
Yes, yeah, I think you told me this, yes.
I watched, God bless Justin Credible, friend of the show. I watched one of those, like, remember, what are they, the timeline shoot okay. interviews.
Oh, yeah. I remember you told me this.
Justin Credible in 2000, it was the fucking worst thing I've ever seen. It's like, Francine got a lot of heat, right? And he was like, well, I don't know. And then, like, Sean Oliver goes to his notes and we're like, well, there was this incident at this house show where so-and-so did this. And he's like, I don't know. Well, I didn't have any heat with her. So that was that. And then I watched one with Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer where, I don't know if I ever heard this before, but if things had gone right with ECW and WWF at the time, they would have had a match at SummerSlam 97. It would have been Sabu and RVD against Sandman and Dreamer. But because RVD didn't want to do the job to the real Double J at the time, they just walked out of a Raw taping.
And that's insane. Why? Paulie probably got in their head and told him, fuck this, let's leave. But why would you turn down like an opportunity like that?
Well, Paulie was playing both sides because he had to play the fuck WWE side, but WWF side, but he was still working with them. So he pitched the invasion angle. Rob Van Dam came in. Then Rob Van Dam started doing weird tag matches with Jerry Lawler where he wasn't necessarily like representing ECW. He had gone on a run where he beat a bunch of people on Raw, and then they showed up at a Raw, and it was supposed to be RVD against not the Road Dogg, the real Jesse James, and they wanted Jesse James to beat him, and RVD was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. We're not promoting RVD and ECW if this fucking jobber is going to pin me. So they walked out, and Tommy Dreamer stole the IC title, NIC title, excuse me.
Did he really?
He said there was a box in the back, one of those big crates, and he looked in it, and it had, like, all the old titles in it. So he just fucking took it, threw it in his bag, and then they were leaving the arena. He's like, hey, Paul, look what I took. And he's like, you got to bring that back there.
No, he made him return it?
He brought it back that they went, I guess they went back to talk, and he just couldn't find a bin, so he just kind of, like, left it on a table.
What? I would have never fucking returned it. I would have never returned it. That's insane. That's insane.
The High Spots Network has like fucking 500 shoot interviews and all those timeline things. So I really enjoy just watching those. So I've been going down that rabbit hole too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been trying to make making the best out of the time. I do stand around a lot at work. So I put the network on. I do a lot of live tweeting, try and talk to people. I got some responses from Francine. Dude, we didn't even talk about it. That Barely Legal last week. The fucking Shane Douglas Pitbull 2 match where Brian Lee turns on the triple threat. He kisses Francine. Rick Rude's in the fucking biker mask. Like, ugh. Such great shit.
Speaking of ECW around that time, Kevin actually posted a video of the Rougeau brothers wrestling a very young Gary Wolfe and Anthony Durante on Superstars, which fucking almost knocked me out of my chair. That was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's who that was.
They just looked like two run-of-the-mill meatheads, and there they were. And they had Tony Schiavone and Lord Alfred Hayes call the match. How weird is that?
That's fantastic. Nothing beats great 90s shit. Wrestling.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it was 89, too.
I posted that because I thought that Matt posted the thing about tag team finishes, and I thought I remembered the Rougeau brothers finish. I knew it was a Boston Crab, but I thought it was a leg drop from the top that made it cool to me, but it was just either, like, a knee from, like, the second rope or a knee, like, off the ropes and then just dropping a knee in the back while they're in the crab.
Didn't they have another finisher where one guy would get up to the top and the other one would grab him by the hands and flip him off? They called it like Le Bombe de Rougeau or some shit.
No, that was the Quebecers did that. The cannonball where like they have him up and they just kind of release him onto gotcha. The guy with like a front flip. And then, you know what I'm saying? That was the Quebecers.
Quebecers. We're not the Mounties.
The one guy's on the top rope, the other guy goes up and they clap hands and the other guy does a flip.
Yeah.
Onto him.
Like a holding senton. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Quebecers. But I thought the Rougeaus had another one where one of them would have him on their shoulders and the other guy would just do like a Doink the Clown, like whoopee cushion. I thought the Rougeaus had a lot cooler finishers than they did.
I remember Jacques doing like a whoopee cushion now that you mention it. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to catch Being the Elite today?
No. It's the 200th episode, wasn't it?
It was.
Haven't watched it yet.
It is fantastic, Tony. Especially for someone who did backyard wrestling like myself. You, I think, will just love it.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's good.
Check it out.
It's good. 200 episodes. And the future is bright for them boys.
Speaking of backyard wrestling, I don't know if you saw this, and this is not my going home, by the way. The Rock and his ex-wife, producer Danny Garcia, are involved with HBO. They're producing a new series called Trey Count, which is about a creation of a backyard wrestling promotion. Cassius Jones, a struggling pro wrestler and dock worker, uses his inheritance money to start a hip-hop-centric backyard wrestling promotion in Houston's Third Ward, known as the Trey, along with his friends, family, and neighbors. It's got potential.
I'll check it out. I'll check out any wrestling show.
Oh, it's going to be streaming on Disney Plus on May 1st. Oh, no, never mind. That's The Princess Bride. Sorry, I got ahead of that. What? They fucking put it all together and they really didn't put like a little break there. It's just like one line after that whole fucking paragraph. Shout out to the shitheads at 401 Mania. I do have an interesting going home, by the way.
Hit us.
Did you talk about Kevin and I's favorite release from NXT, Dan Matha?
No.
Kev. Did you read about Dan Matha, Kev?
I don't remember these, Tony. Yes.
No. It's more tragic than that, actually. You want to ask Dan Matha what's the Matha with him? He was involved in a car accident that put him through the windshield of his car and put a hole in the back of his head prior to being released later last week. Yes, there's pictures on social media. He totaled his car. He said, from the world getting locked down to ejected through my car window and then being released by WWE. Boy, do I have a crazy ass story to tell you. If you get a chance, go find the pictures. It looks like somebody fucking just cut into the back of his head. It's actually pretty fucking gruesome, and his car is really fucked up. He's laying on his pillow, and there's, like, blood everywhere on the pillow. Fucking feel really bad for that guy. You want to talk about fucking unlucky lottery? That guy hit the fucking Triple Mania last week. Jeez Louise. Fucking terrible.
That is bad.
And that's my going home, boys. What you got?
Good stuff, man.
Kevin, do you have a going home?
I did not prepare a going home, Matt.
It looks like Cassius Ohno is done with the WWE. He posted a very
that's
cryptic.
Good.
He posted. What are you making a face for, Kevin?
Nothing to do with this.
Oh, he posted a very
the big dog across the street.
He posted a very cryptic Damian Dragon-esque picture.
Ah, good call, good reference. I like it. I like it a lot.
Of just a pair of boots in the ring, and it seems like he has been added to the WWE alumni section of the WWE Network. So here's to hoping that if his time with the WWE is up, you can see him back on the independent scene or involved in coaching, because he definitely knows what he is doing.
And it's about the same time of the year when Damian Dragon himself retired. So it's kind of apropos that he would leave the boots in the ring.
Yeah, and everybody's fucking talking about Damian Dragon's retirement.
Of course they are.
We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening on your Instagram, on your iTunes, on your Stitcher, on your Spotify, on your Google Play, wherever you get the episode. Please leave a review, share it with your friends. Don't forget to support us over at Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Sign up is as little as $1 a month. And with that, you get a code to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. Those guys are doing great stuff over there. I just ordered a bunch of t-shirts during their their big sale, and they got here quite quickly, so they are still alive and kicking over there. Facebook.com/Wizards Podcast, Twitter.com/Wizards Podcast, or @Wizards Podcast. The finals of the Shining Wizards Cup starts Wednesday, April 22nd at noon, so be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I think that's everything. I may or may not be back Wednesday night with a post show. It may be pushed to Thursday night. It is my wife's birthday, so we have to figure out.
Happy birthday, Rhiannon! Nice. Woo!
Happy birthday.
To figure out what we're doing Wednesday. So, but we will be back, me and D-Generation Y, who, you know, will spend the rest of the night busting my balls about me fucking up everybody's names. And that's
Thank
it on my
for
end.
Tuning in. Thank you for tuning in on the hot mic tonight. I know we had a few problems, but it seemed like the second half of the show actually went quite well. Probably going to try it again next week if you guys will allow. I think we might have a hit on our hands if we can get everything ironed out.
I'm excited. We got 25 likes on the thing.
Yes, we did. This is awesome.
But nobody sent us a tip.
That's all right. Send you a tip later. You just got to bend over to get it.
Ah, waka Hi-oh. Waka. Hey now.
All right, boys. I will see you next week.
And Kevin's bailing.
Kevin's done. He's got to go watch his Monday Night Raw.
Of course he does.
All right, boys.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Later, Kevin. Man, right. You got anything to say to the hot micers out there before we cut this off?
To any of you out there in the hot mic land, we appreciate you taking the time to watch the show. We hope it was as enjoyable as it was for us. Granted, we had a couple of snafus at the beginning of the show. Kratzo, Benjamin Martinez, Ant Money.
Stuck with it, man. Kratzo was in it for the long haul.
Keith the Great just jumped in there. So thank you guys all for tuning in and checking out this this hot mic thing. It's brand new, but if it works for us and it works for you, it's something we're going to try and do going forward. So just bear with us.
While I was fucking around trying to get everything working, I actually figured out a couple of other things by accident. So hopefully next week it's going to, you know, turn out better and you guys could watch along and maybe we'll have a couple little visual things and whatnot. You won't have to stare at Kevin's head looking at the fucking camera sideways like he's making a fucking Onyx video in the 1990s.
Ooh.
But, hey, it's been fun.
You want me to play some Onyx to go home?
No, did you hear my fart music while we were talking before?
Your fart music?
Yeah, can you hear this?
No.
You don't hear it?
No.
Fuck. All right. Well, that's another thing I got to work on then.
No. Now I'm going to play
Onyx.
Everybody
broadcasting can hear it, but whatever. All right. So I'll stop that.
All right.
Fuck. Oh, you know why? Because, well, never mind. You wouldn't have heard it. Whatever. Maybe you hear it now.
Nope.
Oh, well. Then I guess you're not getting any of this.
You're not getting any of this.
And thank you, sir, for doing all the heavy lifting with the recording tonight and whatnot. So kudos to Matt for everything he does for the show.
I don't do shit, son.
All right, play us some Onyx and get the fuck out of here.
Hold on, I gotta unmute it. Yeah.
Oh, I hear that.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Everyone, bounce, bounce. If you're listening on the hot mic, bounce, baby. Da 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 da. Let the boys be boys. Slam. Da 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 da. We'll be back next week. Just slam. Maybe Wednesday. We don't know yet. Might be Thursday. Drew Generation Y. They're coming up to you. They're going to fuck you in the face and your shoe. They don't give a fuck anything you do. Get the corona. Go fuck you. I can't spit rhymes like I used to because I am filthy. I'm not going to say it. Oh, that's Mathis's head.
Yes, it's kind of fucked up.
All right. Well,
there you go.
We're kind of fucked up.
Everyone.
We'll see you guys next week. Stay at home. Stay safe. It's not just a cold, you fucking morons.
See ya. Da-da-da. Make noise, you boys. Slam. Oh, Kate heard the fart music, by the way. I'm the nitty nasty, gritty smasher, never slow gapper. Sickly swift, flat up the brassy bass, lash it. That I provide, I abide, the UST, besides the gun of vibe, make me flip like... Stop this fucking thing.